Masidi receives from Din onto Olerenshaw. In towards half-court, Guy McKenna at Lovac puts enough pressure on. Another player slips over. Oh, gee, this is Kelthorpe. Setting sail for home, David Kelthorpe. And he's kicked the goal.
Well, the whiff's up. He's got his arms in the air. That was from the 1993 Premiership, was it?
I don't know that one was, no. I think he kicked a very, very important goal for us back in 1993, though, but he'll be able to tell the story. He's joined us on the line this morning. Good morning, David.
Jim, Gary, how are you?
Well, Chunky, is it Chunky? Or Gary said Chunky, I said Stumpy. Which would you prefer?
I did say
Chunky. Well, you could probably call me both at this stage of my life, mate.
Hey, Stump, that 1993 grand final, that goal that you kicked, that was, you burst out of the centre. Was that straight after half time or after Carlton had actually kicked a couple of goals in the third quarter?
Yeah, they'd kicked probably three in a row, I think.
Yep.
And you weren't doing much, Tim, so I had to sort of I had to step up, and it was actually 1:56 to go on the clock. It was actually credit to Neil Danaher, the work that he did with us guys in the midfield, and we just knew where big Harry Mann was going to hit the ball on most occasions, and this occasion he hit it straight down my throat. Gary O'Donnell put a perfect block on, and I think I kicked it 78 metres.
It went a long way. It went a long, long way.
Just off the top of your head.
I was trying to hit Summer at the top of the square, but I'm never kicked that long again.
How many times have you watched that Premiership, that 1993 Premiership tape?
I hardly ever, Gary. I'm not really one to sit down and watching the whole game.
Just your highlights.
Yeah, which weren't many. So good, yeah, which weren't many. But it's funny because last night I'm coaching Peg's footy club in the Ammos, and Barnsley and Joe Masidi come down last night, and me and Joey always sort of argue about what was the most important goal in that 93 grand final, because he kicked one, I think, not long after me. And so that's an argument that's going to continue on for a long time.
What did the Wisp bring to the club? I mean, I've been working with him. I've known he was my boyhood idol, childhood idol for a long time. What was he like to have in amongst the club? Was he socially awkward as he is now, or was he more of a team man?
He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Well, I think what made it successful in 93, that camaraderie we had amongst the group. Obviously, Tim stood at another level above everyone else, but he did try to incorporate himself in. I don't know if Tim remembers this, but I was the butt of a couple of the practical jokes of him about, I don't know, it would have been about 4 or 5 nights in a row. I went to have a shower, went to change into a new pair of jocks, only to find that I had a hole cut in the front of my jock.
Oh, that's bullying, Tim.
Tim, being the elder statesman, brought a lot of experience to the group, just sort of that sort of calming nature, and along with our other leaders at the time, you know, Bomber Thompson, Gary O'Donnell, Paul Salmon, guys like that, it was just, you know, it was obviously the Baby Bombers era, and that good mix of really experienced guys, which obviously made us successful, because we probably weren't the best team that year, but we did have something pretty special.
We did.
Back in those days, you used to sometimes sit down and celebrate with a beer. Did he used to celebrate with a Fiano or a Chablis or something like that?
he used to just grab Herdy. You never see him.
Cut it. Stubby, like when you think about a season, and that 1993 season was extraordinary for a lot of reasons, and all those young players that came together, and nobody knew how good they might have become, that group of players. But what's your recollection of 1993, the thing that stands out most? Put the Premiership aside, but the thing that stands out most about that season?
For me, it was just about playing footy with your mates, and it wasn't really about what level we played footy at. It was, we played hard on and off the field. We had a really good time, but the chemistry we had, both on and off the field, was just, I think, second to none. And like, you know, I haven't been much around footy in recent years, but I don't, but I did work in footy for a little period of time after that. But it's, I've never ever seen that in any club that I've been in.
Yeah.
So I think that was the key for me. I remember, I'm back in those days, you get away with a fair bit more and, like, you know, you have a good time, and recovery was all about, you just had to show up to the club the next morning. And I think, you know, those Sunday morning recoveries, if we played on Saturday, they're the things that, just sitting around together, you know, telling stories and reminiscing, it was just, it just brought us closer together. And when you're a close group, you tend to want to play for each other a hell of a lot more than, you know, than probably what they do these days, and just, you know, getting their training done, ticking the boxes, and, you know, in these massive training facilities where there's no, where you can't set crackers off in the showers, and, you know, everyone running for cover, and you know, playing practical jokes on each other. So it's just the little things like that, being, you know, on top of each other in a sporting club, and just, and just enjoying yourselves.
We're talking to David Calthorpe, who played 114 games between 92 and 2000, including the 93 flag with the Bombers. And David, I know you're heavily invested. I spoke to you the other day off air. You're heavily invested in sport. You do a lot of coaching. You've got a boy that plays both AFL football and daughters too that play football and soccer. You run a horse transport business with your brother Chris. Who's a horse trainer, won the Group 1 Australasian Oaks with Media Award last Saturday. So you're heavily invested in the sports themselves. You're Essence team manager back there for a while too. I think you built an altitude chamber for athletes back in the day too, one of those mobile chambers that went around. So, I mean, you love your sport. You love your involvement right now, yes?
Yeah, I do, Tim. It was, I worked at the Bombers for 5 years in the footy admin department, and unfortunately got moved on for various reasons. And, so I probably had a real void there for a couple of years, you know, what I want to do with myself, and really struggle with things. So, you know, I pretty much had a crack at everything, and now I think I'm pretty much settled down later in life and found my niche. We're about to launch an exciting business called Sports Talent Vault, where we're assisting youth soccer players in building their sporting profile. And they attend combines with us, and we're going to do that all around Australia, where they're tested both physically and technically with their game. They walk away with a GPS, so they can put their game metrics, upload their game metrics, and they can be basically seen by clubs all around the world. So that's a really exciting venture for us. And people should look out for that, because we're about to launch that soon and market that heavily.
What's that called, Dave? Give us that name again.
It's called Sports Talent Vault.
Right. Sports Talent Vault.
Sports Talent Vault, yeah. It's a software platform that's going to basically provide a bit of a pathway and exposure for the young soccer players. The diamonds in the rough, so to speak, Gary. Soccer is a very expensive sport to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best players don't play at the most elite level. And with the way clubs recruit these days, you know, too many players can get lost to the game, especially when they reach sort of, you know, 15, 16, 17 years of age. A lot of the clubs, just don't get to see them. It's not like the AFL system where, you know, each club's got 7 or 8 recruiters. They're going all over the country. Mm. Most of the clubs don't have any. It's just all word of mouth type stuff. So we're putting some hard and fast facts in place where you can monitor young players throughout their careers. It's a relatively inexpensive process for a young player, and they can attend combines every year. Like it's pretty similar to the AFL combine, so we're really looking forward to that and excited about it.
Well, good luck with that, Stumpy. Just before we let you go, how's the body? Because this is how this segment really started, just talking about banged up ex-footballers. Are you okay? You had a few operations along the way, or you're in pretty good shape at the moment?
I had a few during my playing days, Tim, which slowed me up gradually. And put it this way, I'm not riding track work for my brother anymore. I noticed your sponsor for this segment is Kazo, and I'll probably need to go with me back to Philly or at
We'll see. We'll give our friends at Keys a call and just see whether or not we can't get you in there at some stage to have a once over.
No worries.
Great to talk to you, Dave. Old Chunky Calthorpe joining us here. We appreciate it. Good luck. If we can help you out with your new venture, then yell out at any time. But appreciate you jumping on.
Guys, can I just give a quick shout out to my No Rats family at the prison that I used to work in?
Yeah.
I think these people don't get the recognition they deserve. You know, we can talk about police and emergency services. I worked in there for 2 years, and these guys do a tremendous job. And just a shout out to all those guys, especially the No Rats.
Well done, Dave. Good on you, mate. We appreciate that. Dave Kelthorpe here for Keezer. Of course, his brother was trained the Group 1 Australasian Oaks Winner Media Award. We spoke to one of the owners from Lamington Footy Club there during the week. So here for Keezer, struggling with back pain. Now's the time for Keezer. Open in Mornington and Ocean Grove.